Blog Talk Radio.
Got my walking shoes on. I can't tell you where I'm going, but I'm walking down this lonely road. But at least the scenery is beautiful. And no matter what I do, I can't stop walking. No, I know it's the only way to go. And if I keep walking, I'ma be okay. It's not always about knowing why. Sometimes it's all about knowing what, and that's enough to keep you walking every day. Yeah, I believe, but it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet, but I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking, yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see you walking up, always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep on walking up. Walking shoes, hey, I tell you when you got a made up mind. Even the winter feels like summertime. In the night to see the light of day, cause I've been blind for way too long, and you can't take my light away. Even though all my times are half the time, I get unsure and hope for brighter days. I never let it slow my pace, so knowing failure ain't an option. I've been promised and I'm on my way up. Said I believe, but it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. If I keep on walking up, yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking up, yeah. Always waiting for something good to find you. But if it don't come, what are you gonna do? And that's why I'm walking, walking, walking. Gotta keep it walking on. Walking shoes, walking shoes.
Step two, step two, step three. Step one, step two, step three.
Walk in shoes.
Thy words the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. These shoes, my shoes.
Walk in shoes, walk in shoes.
Walk into what's promised. Walk into what's better land.
Said I believe. But it's a dream that I ain't seen yet. Chasing a dream that I ain't dreamed yet. But I'ma meet it halfway if I keep on walking, walking, walking. If I keep on walking up, yeah, I know it when I see it walking, walking, walking. When I see it walking up.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Abba Yah, for the blessing that you have given us of life this day. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've done for us, Father, for showing us that you lead us, that you guide us, that you love us, that you hedge us up, Father. Thank you for giving us good teachers, Father. Thank you for your son, Yahushua, Father, who has chosen them, Father, and those sons that and daughters that you have called out, Father, that allow themselves to be led by him, Father. Father, with so much trouble going on in the world, Father, one thing we know for sure, Father, is that we have hope in you and your son, Yahushua, that your word is true, that your Torah is true, that your son who gave up his precious life and shed his precious blood as our sacrificial lamb, Father, did that work because of one thing and one thing only, Father, obedience to you, Father. Yes, you said he loved the world that you gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, Father. And we thank you for that work that was done, Father. Especially as we start to close in, Father, on these the second part of your holy festival, Father, and despite the trials and tribulations that we may be going through, Father, that, Father, knowing that those better days and brighter days that are coming through your set-apart days, Father, just give us hope, Father, that even though times may be trying, Father, as the brother said in his song, you know, as a matter of fact, it's in the Psalms, Father, that you might go to bed weeping, but joy comes in the morning, Father. So I just ask, Father, that your spirit be here today, Father, your special Shabbat spirit, Father, your Holy Spirit, Father, your Ruach HaKodesh, Father, the Holy Intellect, Father, that you have given us because we accept your Son, Yahushua, Father. I ask that you look after all my brothers and sisters, my Zakanes, my Zakanas, my Ox, my Akotis, Father, that you give them everything that they need, Father, the Yaladim, Father, that you give them the strength that they need, whether it's mentally, whether it's emotionally, whether it's physically, Father, and in particular, if it is spiritually, Father, that you give them everything that they need, Father, as your Son, Yahushua, taught us to pray, that we ask you for our daily bread, Father, that you give us exactly what it is that we need to get through this day. I pray for my brother Shalael, who will be bringing forth the lesson later, Father. We know he always comes with that zeal and that fire and that truth, Father. Just ask that you definitely give him your spirit, Father, to bring forth that word as that mighty soldier that he always is for truth and righteousness, Father. And the Father, I just ask now that you keep us hedged up, that you give us the patience to stay within your hedge, Father, to stay within your word, Father, and to be obedient to you, Father, even though sometimes, Father, we may not understand what it is or where it is that you're leading us, Father. But we do know one thing's for sure, Father, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, and you certainly will not deceive us, Father. In Yahushua's name I pray. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpachah. This is your brother Ahab, all the Beth Yahweh congregation, and you are tuning in to another episode of Call Elohim, Voices of Power. And this episode, or this session, is study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I am your host, Brother Ahab All, with Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, USA. B-Boy. And I'm very happy to be a resident of Baltimore and to be amongst my brothers and sisters, and thankful to Yahweh for leading me down here. You know, I just want to just say how grateful I am for all that Yahweh has done. You know, I often reflect back on how things started out and the love that Abba showed me and my brothers and sisters, you know, when we were up in Long Island, New York, and listening to my brother talk last night in his lesson, and made me reflect on who our current leader is and the time and the patience that he took as a young man to make that trip, that 4+ hour trip from Baltimore to New York. Actually, when you think about it, round trip is about an 8-hour trip, especially where we are. It may have been about close to 5 hours where we were on Long Island. And to make that journey for the sake of not just several souls, but in some regards, just a few souls. Because when we were first coming into the faith, there was a lot of us studying. And I'm not sure where a lot of people may be now, but, you know, there's a core of us, you know, that still remain here. And, you know, we often, I'm sure my other brothers and sisters do, to reflect on, you know, those who started this journey with us and wonder sometimes where they are, and praying that, you know, that if it's Yahweh's will, you know, that he lead them and guide them, you know, back to the truth. You know, one of the things I was looking at when Blog Talk first started with our congregation, you know, when Sister was led to start this, and I was looking at the first lesson and what it said. And it said, for Israel, to the daughters, to return to their first love. You know, and oftentimes we need that reminder to return to our first love. You know, it's never for him to return because he never leaves anyway. He sits put. He stays still. He sits put, and he just waits. You know, but oftentimes we tend to veer off to the left or to the right. And, you know, one thing I will never say about our congregation is being divided. You know, we may have at some point a level of understanding that we may have to attain. But the only time I ever feel like we would ever be divided is if we did not have a common goal in mind. And I know this in my heart of hearts, that we all want the kingdom. We all want to get that good 7-day tour and that rest and that Shabbat. And oftentimes we may have, I don't even want to say different understandings, but because we are unique individuals, there are oftentimes that things are revealed to us in different ways. And oftentimes it takes time for everyone to get on that level of understanding, but by no means does it mean that there is, you know, division, you know, unless at some point that individual decides that whatever is being revealed here is no longer the truth, but hopefully and prayerfully, and you know, from the time that I have been here and have been a part, I can honestly say, yes, there are times when revelation needs to come through, better understanding, and oftentimes if and when we have been in error and the truth of the word has been revealed to us, one of the things is absolutely for sure, those who sincerely want the truth stay and remain no matter where they are. They could be in Okinawa, Japan, jumping out of airplanes in one of the military bases. One thing's for sure, if they want and yearn and stay within that truth, they know where it is. That hasn't changed. You know, sometimes brothers may decide they want to venture out and go to other places. No problem. You know, one thing I can say for sure, if we got an address, you're going to find us at that address. Even if it is a www.something address, you will find us at that address. Call Elohim prayerfully with Yahweh's strength. We'll be here, you know, and good lessons have been coming forth through this, through the Blog Talk. I listened to Zakane's lesson the other day, and, you know, and I hope everybody takes the time to go and listen to every one of these lessons that have been coming forth. And, you know, unfortunately, the ones for the Shabbat day lesson, you know, those aren't able to be recorded. You know, hopefully you're taking copious notes, but I would hope that everyone can agree that we are being led by the Creator, the heaven and earth, and he is protecting us and keeping us and helping us to make it through these times. You know, and I hope everybody is strengthened, is edified, is fueled by the messages that have been coming forth. And one of the things that's so funny, you know, just getting ready, you know, praying, you know, asking Abba the message, what do you want to talk about, Abba? What is the message you want to give to the brothers and sisters? What do you need for me to learn, Abba? What do you need for me to understand? And in turn, hopefully, you know, with my understanding, I can help other brothers and sisters understand. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, Brother Aha, he can get a little crazy sometimes. He sometimes may in rushing, even this week, and rushing to get an understanding of what was being asked, you know, made an error. you know, on something that was obvious, and the good shepherd that I have in Yahushua and his servant, shoop, put the yoke out, yank me right back in. You know, and there are times when sometimes in that zeal, and you know you wanna get to the end of it, sometimes you know you trip up, you buck your toe, you step on a rock, and you slip. You know, and that's what good teachers and good shepherds are for, to bring you back into right understanding so that you can have that right relationship with the Almighty. You know, one of the things that I know for beyond a shadow of a doubt, that any one of the brothers who sits down to bring forth the word for our brothers and sisters does it with a pure and sincere heart and out of love. Regardless of how that message is brought forth, everybody is the individual. You know, hey, look, Brother Harp gets fiery. You know, I feel like sometimes I'm like Jeremiah, that word of Yahweh be shut up in my bones, and it gets me on fire, and I can't stay. I mean, if y'all could be a fly on the wall sometimes when Abba helps me understand something, just like my brother was talking about last night, and you talk to a brother, and you know, and it's like that fire, that little ember now just turns into a raging fire, and you know, you both they're sharing the word, and you know, even sometimes I see my brothers at work, and we get to talking about the word, and it's just like ooh, and it's just burning inside of you, and it comes out, and you know, when it comes out, sometimes it's like, it's hard to contain it, you know, but digressing. I don't want to ramble. I don't want to keep everybody too long today. Got hopefully, you know, I don't want to make myself into a liar. You know, hopefully a short, sweet meal for us today. And the question that Abba, or the message that Abba gave me today was, you know, the war is not with human beings. You know, the scriptures say the war is not against flesh and blood, but really what in essence, Brother Shaul, Brother Paul, is telling us in Ephesians that we're not warring against human beings. Sure, that personage, that flesh, and that blood that's sitting in front of us, yes, it is carnal, it is a human being, but in essence, that's not what we're fighting. You know, but the question that Abba placed on my heart to ask everybody, myself included, myself first in all actuality, are you prepared for the fight? Are we prepared? Do we have everything that we need? Because if not, now is the time for preparation. I honestly believe in my heart of hearts why he kind of is quieting these things down. You're sure a lot of things are raging on. He says, quiet. What do you mean quiet? Sure, a lot of things may be raging on the outside there, but that's not our fight. That's not for us to get involved in. Let them fight it out amongst themselves. You know, like how the two ladies on Saturday Night Live used to say, talk amongst yourself. Let them fight amongst themselves. We've got something more important, more pertinent to focus on. And I know everybody feels like I do. When I close my eyes, a brother said on the show that I listened to, he said, while you're living, and it echoed the sentiment of Gershon Ben Daniel, he said, that dash, there is the born date. For me, it was in February 1971. Don't know exactly when the end date is, but he said the most important thing is that time between when you are born and when you are laid to rest. And one brother said it, and he said it's the dash. And then one brother said the entire time you are writing your eulogy. Your life is about writing your eulogy, preparing yourself for the great beyond. At which point we to the reality, because this is not reality. And I'm not talking some transcendentalism, new age type stuff. No, I'm talking the pure hard facts. Even Yahushua said, my kingdom is not of this world. So basically he's saying it ain't in this current state that we're in now. So without further ado, let's get into this word, family. And we'll start off today in one of my favorite prophets. I shouldn't even say favorite prophets, because every one of them at some point touches me in a way that just makes me feel like, oh, man, you know, can't wait for the day when I close my eyes and Yahushua comes back with the sound of the trump, and we get to see every one of them, and I can say, oh, so-and-so, oh, so-and-so, oh, so-and-so. Oh, I can't wait for that opportunity. I really can't. Not that I'm trying to rush it or anything like that, but it is something I am looking forward to. So the war is not with flesh and blood. And I'm going to start off here, family. And it's in the book of Isaiah, Yeshayahu. And we're going to the 59th chapter, 14th verse, family. And the writer says this. And judgment is turned away back, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Think about the current state that is going on right now, family. Just think about it. Judgment is turned away backwards. People want criminals to be exonerated for committing crimes. And they want the ones who are there to protect the people who are not committing crimes to be charged with crimes. And no, I'm not talking about injustice situations that are brought about by the killing of individuals. I'm talking about when you look at these places, and one of them is what's called the chop zone, that's exactly what they want. They don't want law and order or law enforcement in there. Listen to what they say. They want to self-rule and self-govern. So what is that? Judgment. Turn it away. Get judgment out. And justice, get justice away from. We can enact our own judgment. Justice. How? How are you going to do that? For truth is fallen. I'm still in verse 14, family. For truth is fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. See, there will never be equality even in that situation. This is the part that's so foolish about these people, these anarchists, these Antifas, all these people, every single one of them, whether you are on the far right or whether you're on the far left, it's all foolishness, because at the end of the day, regardless of what the outcome is, there has to be some system in which there are rules and regulations that govern everyone's lives. There's going to have to be one person who is in charge, a second in command, a third, one that's over thousands, one that's over hundreds, one that's over tens. There have to be people like that. And it's so funny. This is how I know we've been massaged. It was a show out a couple years back called Revolution, and it was about the same exact thing. And unfortunately, it's not one of those free shows that you get. You got to pay for the episodes. Otherwise, I would love to go back and revisit that. My rabbi and I, we used to talk about that show because it showed what would happen if they're true, if this revolution that both factions want to take place, these two stormfronts, these two main stormfronts in our country, if they got what they wanted, guess what? Even if one side wins, within that faction, there's going to be division. And that's what that show Revolution was about. They were two comrades in arms. After the United States government fell, they decided one wanted to lead one way, one wanted to lead another way. I really hope, and it's a show called Revolution. It was on NBC at one point. I pray that one day they'll allow it to be free, because I'm too cheap to pay for it to watch it again, to be honest. But it was a very good show that showed what's exactly going to happen if this country fell. It's going to fall into anarchy and factions. Why? That's human nature. But anyway, I'm digressing. Isaiah 59:15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Think about it. He said truth fails, and whoever wants to depart from evil, you are now the prey. You, because you want truth, are now going to be victimized. You're going to be public enemy number one because you want truth. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And Yahweh saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. You think Yahweh is pleased with what he sees going on? This is one of the reasons why I honestly believe he's keeping us in the situation he's keeping us in, because he doesn't want us overly exposed to it. It's so funny, because that country that said they wanted to not do the social distancing and the masking and all the other things that the World Health Organization was saying to do, guess what? It's not on the news now, because it's not going to make headlines, because right now they got to keep our attention focused on other things. But that country, believe it, Sweden, has the largest outbreak in the world right now. But they're not going to make that publicly known. And they were the one who said, no, we're going to reject that, and we're going to go with what's called herd immunity. And guess what? It ain't work. But anyway, I'm still digressing. Forgive me, family. Back to 59:15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And Yahweh saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. 59:16. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. 9:18. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, and to the islands he will repay recompense. 59:19. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of Yahweh shall lift up as a standard against him. Now, if you don't know what a standard is, basically it's a flag. It's what each country, it's the symbol of each country. And that's what Yahweh's saying. He's going to come in. He's going to be that symbol. He's going to come in. He's going to interject. He's going to intercede. I'm going to read that again. 59:19. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith Yahweh, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Yahweh. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, or out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith Yahweh, from henceforth and forever. All praise, all glory, all honor be to Yahweh, who is our salvation. I'm so grateful that Yahweh keeps edifying us, and Yahweh keeps revealing scriptures to us to let us know, don't worry. All these troubles that are coming on in the world, all these things that these people are doing, it will not stand. He's watching and he's waiting. But we have to be patient and watch and wait with him. All right, continuing on, family. The next scripture I want to go to is Mark, first chapter, starting at verse 9. Mark 1, chapter 1, verse 9, I read. And this is at the very beginning of Yahushua's ministry. And I just want to go through a couple of scriptures today to show what he actually went through and what he ended up doing to combat the enemy, and what it is that we need to do in our time, this time that we're in right now, to combat the enemy. Okay? Because remember, we are not fighting against human beings. What we see in front of us really is not what we're fighting against. But we're fighting against spirits. We're fighting against mindsets. We're fighting against doctrines. We're fighting against lunacy in some cases. Some people are crazy out there. Just look at some of these videos and the things that people are saying. This brother went so far as to deify this brother that just died. And as sad as his death is, I was like, come on now. Really? This is a conspiracy theory too? You got to be kidding me. Oh, my God. Why can't it just be the will of God? Why can't it just be the Creator's will that unfortunately a brother passed at a young age? But now this is a conspiracy theory, too? Come on, man. I mean, people out their mind. They really are. And some of this stuff is really just starting to get under my skin, because at some points it's just stupid. Anyway, Marcus, chapter 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Yahushua came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, "Thou art my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. And keep that in mind, family. Now we're gonna go look at and I tell you, when I see how we were led, we didn't go Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. No, we went Marcus. And why Marcus? I'm telling you, man, just let it play out. Let the one who is led by Yahweh lead you. Let the one who is led by Yahweh lead you. Because I can tell you this without a shadow of a doubt. Yahweh leads the leader of this congregation, of who it is. Whether it was Gershom and Daniel, whether it was Yaakov, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he leads the leader. And as my brother said last night, just fall in line. Follow him as he follows the Messiah. And you know why? You know why sometimes things get a little messed up? Just to show us that, one, we need to follow Yahushua, and two, that we are flesh, even our leader. And guess what? Moshe, all the way on Abraham, it's on the record where he erred. Not so much sure about Yitzhak, where he erred. It may be between, you know, how he favored Esau over Jacob, but definitely Jacob, we know he had some errors. And all our forefathers, and it's on the record all the way down. And then Moshe had such a grievous error after going through all what he did that caused him to not to see the land, that he led Israel for 40 years in the desert and put up with all their foolishness, interceded for them. He was not able to step into the promised land because he offended Yahweh. And we know that there is a spiritual reason behind that, that even Yahushua HaMashiach revealed unto us, and Shaul revealed unto us. It was for a reason. But everyone, and my favorite, my great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy, Dawood, David, it's on the record where he messed up. It's on the record where Ahab all messed up. But you know what? Pray for me that I keep my eyes on Yahushua and that I walk in that single file line and keep my right hand on his shoulder. And prayerfully, I will make it to the destination. But it doesn't mean that at some point I ain't going to slip. I slipped. I've fallen. Couldn't get up at one point. And by the strength of Yahushua through my brothers and sisters, they helped me up. But we fall down. But it's not about falling down sometimes. It's about how you get up and what you do after you get up. That's what's most important. But anyway, digressing again. So, in the book of Mark, Marcus, chapter 1, starting at verse 9, and I think I read that already. No, we're going to Matthew, family, going back to Matthew. I'm in Matthew, and I'm starting at verse 1. Now, this goes into a little bit more detail about what took place with Yahushua. Then Yahushua was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, of the adversary. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungered. So why mention that? Because at that point, 40 days and 40 nights, you real weak. I mean, we got a fast day coming up. And I know I ain't the only one who is thinking about that fast day and getting myself spiritually and mentally prepared for that fast. And why is it that one day, even though sometimes we may fast for several days throughout a month, several days throughout a year, may fast weekly. Some of us may fast weekly. I know Mazar Kane that departed us. That was his thing, to fast every Thursday sunset until the Shabbat. That was his thing. But for some reason, when it comes to Yom Kippur, that fast really seems to just hurt. But it's supposed to. But anyway, this is the point where he's at. 4:2, where Yahushua was at. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, now understand this, when you're at that weakest point, he ain't going to back off. That's the point he's coming in to give you some body blows. That's the point he's licking his chops. He's salivating because he's a predator. He wants you at that point where he believes you have no more energy to fight. 4:3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, and pay attention, if thou be, when you start a question or a statement off with if, what is that doing? If means that it could be or could not be. If it happens means it may happen or it may not happen. If that's the proper thing to do means it may or may not be the proper thing to do. So when he starts off with if thou be, he's wanting to do the very same thing that he's been doing since the garden. Did Yahweh say? So the first thing he wants to do is get in between that relationship that Yahushua had with his father. That's the first thing he wants to do. Isn't that what he did to Adam? Isn't that what he did to him? Different method, different way of going about it. But at the end of the day, that was the same intent. I want to separate you from that relationship that you got. If thou be the Son of God, he wants him to doubt who he is. Command these stones be made bread. But check out what Yahushua did. And see, this is what we have to become masters of, family. We have to master this technique. You like, we have a brother that's into the martial arts in the congregation. And he has to go through these different trials and tribulations to get to the point where he is, going from a white belt to a black belt, and then a black belt with different stripes, and then on top of that to become an instructor. You can't just be a black belt and be an instructor. You have to be taught how to properly instruct people as a black belt. My sons take karate, so I know. It takes time, patience, diligence, desire. And above all, understanding. Remember, we started off this journey with one hallmark. Anyway, with all thy getting, get understanding. Because look at what Satan is going to do here. Again, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he, being Yahushua, answered and said, and this is how he retorted. He went to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and 3rd verse. And he said, it is written. Deuteronomy 8:3, that's not what he said, but he said, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out the mouth of Elohim. So, and we were having a discussion on the line today, and Yahweh does things strategically with intent and with purpose. See, all of creation, plants, regardless of what the scientists teach us, and they may have certain understandings of certain things, but vegetation does not exist because of sunlight, moonlight, or any other type of light. It exists because of the light of Yahweh, because his word said for it to come forth. And we're going to see that later on. His word said for it to come forth, and it came forth. Now, scientists say that this process of photosynthesis and all that, yeah, that may be in part true, but the 90.999.999% of the truth of it is Yahweh said exists, and it exists, period. So Yahushua knew at this point in his most weakened state that bread was not going to sustain him.
What was sustaining him up to that point was what was going to continue to sustain him at to which point his flesh was about to give out, which was the word of God. And think about it. He didn't even quote anything from Exodus. He didn't quote from Genesis. He didn't quote from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. He didn't quote from Numbers. He quoted from double words, Devarim, Deuteronomy, which were actually the words of Moshe. He quoted Moses' words that said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Elohim. Bam! Satan punched, he counterpunched. But Satan ain't going to stop there, because guess what he does in verse 5? Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and sitteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. He's taking him way up high. And 6, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God. So he ain't stopping. The same question. He going to keep pressing this question, pressing this question, pressing this question. Why? Why? Hoping to break him down. Hoping to catch him in such a weakened state that he'd be so weakened physically that he'd be weakened mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and forget what purpose he had to fulfill. You don't think this right here is supposed to be the model of what we at some point will face as well. Okay. 4:5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and sitteth him up a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written. Now, this is Satan quoting this. So understand this. And this is why in all thy getting, we must get understanding, because he's quoting scripture to him. Now, we're going to see where he's quoting the scripture from. I believe this one is in the Psalms. He said, if thou be the Son of God, the Son of Yah, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Think about what that scripture says. And that is in Psalm 91:12, right? So now, think of what he did to him, though. See how tricky he is? He wasn't just walking along, because the scripture said, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He's got him up on the top of a mountain. He's got him on the pinnacle, right, of the temple. And he's got him there, sitting him there, and he's telling him this scripture. He is misquoting this scripture to him, because this scripture, if you take it for what it says at its face value, if you're walking along, and we've had this happen. This happens to me all the time. You know why? Because I got 2 flipped feet. I got pigeon toes and bow legs. When I was younger, I had to wear braces on my feet because they were so jacked up. And every once in a while, somehow they connect with one another. And I'm looking like a fool because I got to catch myself. This is what he's talking about. If for some reason you trip up while in this walk, these angels are going to protect you. But not if you do something foolish and wanton and tempt Yahweh. No, this is if something happens to you inadvertently, something that happens to you innocently, not something that you're going to do with intention to say, oh yeah, I'm going to throw myself headlong off of this, off the pinnacle of the temple. And I know his ain't. No, he ain't. No, he's not. No, he's not. But if in your walk you stumble, he said, even though a righteous man may stumble 7 times, what does Yahweh say he's going to do? He's going to uphold him. That's what he's talking about. But per usual, per his way, he's going to quote the scripture and see, whereas when he did it the first time in the garden, they didn't rely on what the word of Yahweh said. This time, when he tempts this Adam, he's solely relying on the truth of what Yahweh's word says and how it is to be understood. Okay? So, he says, this is, we'll go back to read Matthew 4:6. and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And that is the truth of the word of God. But not if you decide you want to throw yourself off the temple, off the top of the temple, or the top of the pinnacle where Hasatan had him. And his retort was, and still is, Matthew 4:7, Yahushua said unto him, and again, he hits him with what? The book of Deuteronomy. Why the book of Deuteronomy? Why double words? Why the words of Moshe? Why use that to combat the adversary? And he says to him, and this is Deuteronomy 6:16. Yahushua said unto him, It is written, again, thou shalt not tempt Yahweh thy Elohim. And look at what happens after that. Does he stop? Does he quit? Well, let's see. Matthew 4:8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain. The first place is the pinnacle of the temple. I got a little ahead of myself, man. Forgive me. That's what happens sometimes. You got to dial back, dial it back. Again, the devil, Hasatan, the adversary, the tempter, the trier, taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. So just imagine. Let's just say he took him to the top of Mount Everest, you know, the highest point they say in the world, and he could see everything. Because if you're at the highest point, guess what? Everything's underneath you. So you could. He took him up there. He said, "Look at all of this." And he said, 4:8. Again, the devil taking him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showing him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Really? I hope he didn't show him what's going on now. Am I still connected? I hate these scam likely calls. Please let me know, family, if I'm still connected. Somebody just tried to call me on a stupid scam likely line. Anyway, so let me get back to my point. Ooh, the devil. Ooh, boy, I tell you, I feel like my brother Sheva L right now. Oh, hate these cell phones. Forgive me, family. I got to get back to my spot because it knocked me off my spot. Matthew 4. Yeah, I am. I'm about to turn you off right now. Toda Aki. Love you. Do it thou love me, Brucey. Love you, brother. Toda. 4:7. Yahushua said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, Yahweh thy Elohim. 4:8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. See, this is his end game. This is what he wants. And we're going to look into this some more of that. This is his end game. This is what he wants. At the end of the day, he wants to be glorified. He wants to be honored. He wants to feel important. Think about that. This is why he wants praise and worship. He wants to feel important. He wants to feel like he is something. He wants to feel like he is equal to the Creator. But listen to what Yahushua says. I love this part. 4:10. And then saith Yahushua unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship Yahweh thy Elohim, and him thou shalt serve. So now, what scripture did he quote him there? Deuteronomy 6:13. You shall worship Yahweh your Elohim, and him alone shall you serve. Why he keeps quoting these words of Moshe, of Moses, if they no longer were relevant? And then look at what happened. See, this is why it's important to stay grounded and rooted in the word of Yahweh. Then, Matthew 4:11, then the devil leaveth him, Hasatan, the tempter, the trier. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. See what I'm saying, family? Got to stay strong, stand fast on that word and the truth of his word. Be swayed. Don't veer to the left or to the right. Get that understanding. Kane Bina. carne bina. Get that understanding. We're going to look at one more thing. Not one more thing, but another thing. I still got a few more scriptures. Forgive me, family. Right? So now we're going to look at it again from a different angle. We're going to look at it from Lucas, whose name means light. First, we went to Marcus, whose name means defender. Matityahu, whose name means the hammer of Yah, I believe. Correct me, fact check me, correct me if I'm wrong, family. Forgive me if I misquote that. But I do know this. Marcus means defender, and Lucas means light. So now let's look at it from Lucas. And Lucas, man, I love Luke's perspective on what he saw with Yahushua, because he really, just like how John saw a particular element of Yahushua, so did Luke. Luke really tapped into a particular element of Yahushua, and he made sure he took very copious notes, man. And that's why he wrote, you know, when he wrote his book, and he also wrote the book of Acts. He wanted to make sure that it was on the record for all time what Yahushua did and what he actually was able to witness and discover about Yahushua. You know who I liken him to? He was like an investigative reporter. He made sure he talked to key people, eyewitnesses, even if it was somebody who he didn't know. And when you go through both of his books, you will see that. There are times it was firsthand information, but there was times that he went and he did some investigative reporting so that way he could get it on the record. That was his niche. But anyway, we're going to start at Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And Yahushua, being full of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So we're letting know now he was hungry. If he like a hog bell, he looking for a cheeseburger. 4:3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that it be made bread. And Yahushua answered him, said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of Yahweh. 4:5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So, you know, think about in the movies where it says, like, you know, you see a character and all of this information is flashing before him. He let him see everything, all flash before his eyes, so he could see all the quote unquote greatness of mankind, like he didn't already know about it. He revealed the end from the beginning. So you think he doesn't know what is going to transpire in the end, but you think for some reason, adversary, that you could trick him, you could get him off his game, that you could get him to dribble with his weak hand as opposed to his strong shooting hand. But anyway, 4:5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, Hasatan, the tempter, the trier, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. See, at that time, he had that level of control. At that time, because Yahushua hadn't finished his work yet. So he had a certain level of control. But guess what? Even that was a lie. Because remember now what the scriptures say, we were brought with a price, because we were once sold to this individual. So there is a certain level of control that he has, but not in its totality, not at all, okay? And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Where was it delivered unto him? When he took it, when he jacked it from Adam. Well, I'm not going to say he jacked it. Adam and Eve, all they both had to do was listen to the voice of Yahweh, and they chose not to. So as a result, they gave it over to him. And he didn't lie about that. He tricked them. But at the end of the day, you can't be tricked if you stand on the word of God. Isn't that what Yahushua, the example that he's giving us right now? If you stand and understand the word of God, the word of Yahweh, you can't be duped. If you stand on it, you will not be tricked out of it, out of what Yahweh has given unto you. Anyway, the devil said unto him, all this power, 4:6, will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give. See, this is why everybody who receives their trophies, the first thing they do is, oh, thank you, you know who. Thank you, you know who. You get that Grammy while you standing up there scantily clad, or you get that MTV award for doing music. That does nothing to edify anything but the flesh. I don't care how good of an actor someone is. At the end of the day, they're not doing it for the glory of Yahweh. They're doing it for the glory of Hasatan. Yahweh don't have no awards for none of this stuff. He don't. Only award he has for you is when you close your eyes and he says to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. But in between that time, there's only one medal of honor that we can hold on to, and that is the name of Yahweh, his son Yahushua, and being cleansed in that precious blood. And this is one of the things that angers me about all this racial garbage that's going on, because it ain't about race. In God's eye, he don't see no other color but white. And whether or not that white robe you have on has the blood of his son on it, that's the only thing he cares about. That's it. That is it. Anyway, sorry to hurt a lot of my Hebrew Israelite brothers and sisters' feelings, but that's the truth of it. At the end of the day, he don't care about your color. He don't even care if you can quote unquote trace your ancestry back from slavery all the way to Adam. That don't matter to him. Because Esau and Jacob were twins. Bruhs. Akims. From the same mama and daddy. But he said, Yaakov, I loved him. Esau, because he had a whole different spirit about him. And that's what our Heavenly Father looks at. He looks at the spirit that dwells in you. See, one thing you can't hide from Yahweh is your soul. It can't be hid from him. He sees right through it. And he will not accept a soul that doesn't have his son infused in it. And if you truly have his son infused in it, you don't see anything besides those who serve him and those who don't. Because you see what he sees. Anyway, 4:7. Sorry, that's my Bible. I need to sit. Forgive me, family. 4:6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give. If thou therefore, 4:7, wilt worship me. This is what he wants so bad. He wants to feel important. He wants to feel like I'm God. He yearns that. He craves that. It's 4:7. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Yahushua answered him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship Yahweh the Elohim and him only. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle. Luke 4:9. And said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hand shall they bear thee up, lest any of them, any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Yahushua answered him and said, it is said, thou shalt not tempt Yahweh thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him season. Okay? He ain't say he was done with him, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to read all three accounts, because each account went into a little bit more detail. And in Lucas, we see, yeah, you might have fought me off for right now, but trust and believe. There's one thing about him. He ain't got a whole lot of quit in him. See, if he can't get you one way, it makes me think about one of our favorite believer movies, The Devil's Advocate. And at the very end, he quit. The man was, to the very end, he still tried to get him with the very same vice he was trying to get him all along. And just when the man thought that he had escaped, see, so he ain't going to quit. He ain't going to give up. There's no quitting him like that. So now, family, want to switch gears a little bit. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. And we're going to start at verse 13. Because, see, a lot of people are going out in this particular time, man. And, you know, with the prominence of social media, you know, this is something that I face almost every day from a coworker or a colleague about something that they see on one of these social media platforms, and sometimes the argument sounds so convincing, or they make it seem like this is something that is. Prime example, one of my coworkers again hit me off with this Lunar Sabbatarian doctrine. And boy, did I get my Shabbat on with that. That sword came out like a katana. Shing! This is why, and I said straight up, and I usually don't even say that. I usually try to be a lot more gentle. I'm like, it's a straight up doctrine of devil. I first said that it's a doctrine of devil because it came in on the day of the full moon, which I believe was maybe Tuesday. Yeah, it was probably Monday or Tuesday. You know, fact check me, the timekeepers. Whatever day that was, the person came to me and was asking me about the Lunar Sabbatarian doctrine. Because the first question was, is today the Sabbath? And I was like, what you mean? And she was like, the person was like, is today the Sabbath? I said, no, the Sabbath is at the end of the week. They're like, well, can you watch this and tell me and hear me out with this? Okay, all right, what is it? Blah, 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 blah. Oh, that's the Lunar Sabbatarian doctrine. First thing I said, man, it's the doctrine of devils. But I said, go ahead, proceed. Well, how is it the doctrine of devils? Well, let's break this down a little bit. Da 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 da. One feast day that we have to keep requires that we count 7 consecutive Sabbaths and count a day afterwards. How do we keep that feast? Based on following Lunar Sabbatarian doctrine. And it has an origin point, believe it or not. Somebody came up with that. Somebody came up with that, and for some reason, it's not even based in scripture. It's not based in scripture. It's based off of somebody's philosophy, somebody's viewpoint of it, somebody's lack of understanding. Now, this one person's lack of understanding has thousands upon thousands of people following this doctrine. Toda Aki, yeah, was it, yep, hallelujah, see, yes. And that's 14th Tuesday was the day that we had that discussion. The timekeeper just sent it to me. That was the day we had the discussion. And I had to chop it up. I had to chop it up. But of course, you know, these Instagram, TikTok, Facebook prophets, YouTube prophets all come along and they sound so convincing. That's the thing. They sound very convincing because they, of course, they're going to bring scripture. Of course, they're going to try to back it up. But guess what? It can't stand because if it's not based on the truth of Yahweh's word, it's easily torn down. Now, is it easily eradicated out of that person's mind? Is it easily given up by that person? No. Check this out. When Yahweh saved Lot and his family, who turned back and looked? His wife, right? Why? And what did we learn from that? Because her mind was still there. She still had a connection to what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And a lot of times when these things catch our attention, these things catch our eyes, just understand this. He always fishing for your attention. He's always going to try to grab something that he knows you struggle with, that he knows is a weak sticking point for you. So he's always going to present something that is going to bring about confusion based on your emotions, which will then affect your faith. Don't forget that lesson. The 3 obstacles of faith: emotion, opinion, which leads to confusion. Don't forget these lessons now. These lessons that we've gotten, especially the ones that can't get recorded, have to stick within our psyche. They have to, family. One of the things that we are admonished by Shaul to do is bring every thought into captivity. If you never watched Pokemon, watch how they do it with Pokemon, because even though, yes, It's a cartoon, and no, I'm not saying that I'm not advocating for it, but there are always lessons to be learned in certain things. And one of the things that they have to do, bring that thing into captivity. Isn't that what the word says to do? Get these thoughts, get these emotions into captivity. Trap them! Especially if it's something that you have a proclivity towards. He's always going to come at you that way. But don't be tricked by it. But anyway, digressing. 2 Corinthians 11:13. For such are false prophets, false apostles rather, I'm sorry, forgive me, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Moshiach. Whether they try to say it or not, whether they use the name or not, whenever they try to present themselves as bringing you a truth, that's what they're doing. Again, 11:13, 2 Corinthians, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Moshiach. And he says this, and I love this part, and no marvel, this ain't nothing to be all caught up about. For the devil himself, Hasatan, is transformed into an angel of light. And this is another part we got to pay attention to. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They're going to come across like they've got a good truth to bring you. But this is what he says about them, whose end shall be according to their works. Isn't that what he told us in Yeshayahu? He's going to punish them for their works. All these people who try, and it's not our fault sometimes that these things happen, but we have to understand that we cannot give ourselves over to them. We have to fact check it by the word. Fact check, fact check, fact check. Study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, a workman that rightly dividing the word of truth, a workman that be not ashamed. Moving on to St. John now, and this will be my second to closing our scripture. And I love John. I love what John saw, because this is the light. See, he ain't trying to emulate the light of the sun. He ain't trying to emulate the light of the moon. He ain't trying to emulate the light of the stars. Think about what we just learned in Enoch. He knows and understands, because the scriptures say in the book of Revelation, the sun and the moon and the star, I believe the sun and the moon, they're all going to fade away at one point. Why? Because their purpose right now is just for keeping time. Period, point blank. He said it gave the sun, the moon, and the stars for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. He said, I'm giving them to you for a timepiece. At the end of the day, that is their main purpose. Now, are they symbolic of other things? Yes, we see that in Joseph's dream, that they have greater symbolism to them. But at the end of the day, that light that they give forth are going to fade away. They are still corruptible items too. But this is the light that he wants to emulate. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word, word, word. Okay? The same was in the beginning with God. And I'm just going to read it for face value. And I know I just read it a couple of weeks ago, but we got to understand this. 1:2. The same was in the beginning with God. That means he was there with them. Okay? All things were made by him and without him. So if all things were made by him, the very first thing that was made, which we're going to see, because we're going to go back to the book of Genesis, is what? Okay. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The firmament, the waters being divided by the waters, vegetation, the sun, moon, the stars, Adam and Eve, the serpent, all things were made by him. And when it says all things, it means everything was made by him. 1:4. In him was life. Did he not breathe life into Adam? And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And when you look at that term comprehended, it doesn't just mean it couldn't understand it. It couldn't grab hold of it. It couldn't seize it. It couldn't encapsulate it. Just imagine now. And I'm a comic book fan. And there was this one entity called the Silver Surfer. And the Silver Surfer would fly through the cosmos on his surfboard. But he was a being of light. And as he's traveling through the universe, you know, the comic book artist would draw him as this light that was casting away the darkness in the universe. See, when you think about that light, Yahushua is, it is that light that I wish I had more imagery to be able to give everybody to show that just imagine that as he's coming through, he's cleaving through the darkness. He's repelling that darkness, and that darkness can't do nothing for him. I mean, nothing to him. Can't do nothing for him either, but it can't do nothing to him. It has to flee from his presence. Back to 1:5, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. 1:6, there was a man sent from the Mighty One whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. So he came as the herald. He came as the one saying, the light is coming, 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 the light is coming. Everlasting life is coming, everlasting life is coming, everlasting life is coming. Yahushua is coming, Yahushua is coming, Yahushua is coming. That was his purpose. And when you look into John, he had a great following of people who were believing in this light that was coming behind him. But people got so enamored by him that they actually thought he was the light. John, when you think about it, and there's not a lot of it on record, was doing a tremendous work. And Yahushua alludes to it at various points. Those 5,000, those 4,000 that he had following him at one point were followers of John. So John had a tremendous following of people. He was out there doing work. But he was not that true light, a light, but he wasn't that middle stick in the menorah. He was one of the other six that were off to the side on three sides, but he wasn't that light that anchored the middle of it. That when we light it, we start with that light. Because remember, at one point, we weren't starting with that light, I believe. And then Yaka'el corrected me and was like, no, bro, start with this way. You light it this way and do it this way. You see what I'm saying? That's why I know we're being led in every little thing we do. But anyway, I'm digressing. Says John 1:8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So when you come in and you live, he's the spark giver. He's the one that sparks. He's the one that ignites that life within you. Because you can live inside the womb and be what is considered a stillborn. So he has to spark that light. It's not that tap on the hiney from the doctor. It's not the doctor aspirating you. No, 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 no. Because there are times when doctors mess up. They got the commercials on the TV all the time. Where a medical mistake might lead to your child being debilitated, but it's still alive. That child that suffers from cerebral palsy is still alive. But due to a medical mistake, that child was born with life in him, but the doctor messed him up. But he got that spark of life. John 1:9. That was the true light which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Y'all hear that? He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of the Mighty One to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Mighty One, but of Yah. 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he puts as a side note, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Back 1:15, family. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. But hold up. Remember now, John is the bigger cousin. He's the elder cousin by 6 months. So remember, I believe the Rosh Kodesh lesson, when David said in the spirit, when he called my God said unto thy God, I might be misquoting it, forgive me, go back and listen to the lesson. And that was one of the questions that tripped the Pharisees up, because how could they understand the Messiah to be the God who would come after King David to be the one that created King David, and who was King David's Mighty One? So again, he says, I'm going to go back to 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1:15, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the Torah, which he quotes, was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Yahushua HaMashiach. No man hath seen the Mighty One at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. A couple more scriptures, family. Just wrapping up. I'm going to read the book of Genesis, the Bereshit, the beginning, and just read what it says here. I'm just going to read from 1 to 5. In the beginning, the Mighty One created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Mighty One moved upon the face of the waters. And Elohim said, Mighty One, let there be light. And there was light. 1:4. And the Mighty One saw the light, that it was good. And the Mighty One divided the light from the darkness. And the Mighty One called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, the question is this. How could there be day and night without the sun, without the moon, and without the stars? Obviously, they are not what controls day and night. Yes. What Yahweh means by day, especially in dealing with this first five verses in the scripture, is totally different from what we're seeing as day and night. See, when people start quoting all these different things and showing all these different signs with these timepieces that Yahweh placed in order, they don't have the understanding of what their purpose and what their intent is. So even if they black out for a particular period of time, that's not the blackout that we should be concerned about. The blackout that we should be concerned about is that true light that comes through Yahushua HaMashiach and the word of the Creator. Not whether the sun is darkened, because he said, don't be dismayed by the signs of the heavens. He said the heathens do that. They get all caught up in horoscopes and all these different things. But the main concern is whether or not the light, which is Yahushua, and that word is being blanked out. whether that's going to be darkened. That's the most important thing. That's the thing that we should be most concerned about. What is happening with the word, the light of Torah, the light of Yahushua and his father, and that name that is being blanked out? That's that light we need to be concerned about. Not whether or not it will be dark for 3 days, whether or not there'll be a lunar eclipse, solar eclipse, whether planets are going to be aligned, misaligned, out of any particular order. That has no effect on his children. Follow what he asked them to do. So don't be dismayed by those things. Don't get caught up in those things. Because actually, at the end of the day, they mean absolutely nothing. Nothing. But when truth, judgment, righteousness get obscured, that is what we should be most concerned about. And that is what's being twisted. See, that's the darkness that we see coming over the world today. See, when lawlessness reigns, that's darkness spreading. And see, when they start to snuff out the people, why? Question. When Yahushua was being tortured on the stake, why was there darkness for 3 hours then? Because, see, the world at that point had created the ultimate darkness for itself by snuffing out its true light. See, that's what we need to be concerned about most. Dismayed by the signs of the heavens, man. Let that go. Let it go. Be concerned about understanding the truth of his Torah. That is what's most important. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in Yahweh, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So whatever their wishes are. So if your mother say, I'd rather live with my sister, honor, you're honoring her wishes. If she says, well, I want to live with you, and you are incapable of doing that, then you might have to find a way to make that parent, mother, or father happy. But whatever their wishes are, they say, no, put me in a nursing home. That's where I want to be. No, put me in a whatchamacallit. That's where I want to be. You know, that's how you honor their wishes when they're older. Anyway, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. 6:3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, whether spiritual fathers or whether it's physical fathers, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of our master. 6:5, Ephesians 6:5, servants, employees, be obedient to them that are masters / managers according to the flesh, with reverence, not fear, like I'm afraid of you, but it says, it's translated as fear, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Moshiach. Remember, what you do on your job is a reflection of what you say your faith is. So don't pronounce out your mouth that you believe this walk in this way, but you are not reflecting it in your work ethic, because that's a misrepresentation of the of who we serve. Also, be the best employee that you can be within reason. Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Moshiach, doing the will of the mighty one from the heart. 6:7, with good will, doing service as to the Moshiach. So when you're doing your job, remember, you're doing it, do it with the same zeal that you would do, you do this service for Yahushua. Now, if you're not doing the service of Yahushua with zeal, then check yourself. And then do that with zeal, and then go to work and do that with zeal then. Okay? But if you half you know whatting this service to Yahushua, then you got a problem. Anyway, 6:7, with good will doing service as to the master and not to men. 6:8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the master, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, managers, I fall into this category at work, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. Oops, I'm in error of that, but I digress. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven, forgive me, Yahushua, for the things that I have done, neither is there respect of persons with him. 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in our master and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of mighty one, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of the mighty one, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, 6:14, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplates of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the good news, the gospel of shalom. Above all, and this is the most important part, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the mighty one. And let's not forget this part. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I want to thank you, Zakane, when you did your show, praying for all of us. I really appreciate it. I need your prayer. And I thank you for all my brothers and sisters who pray for me throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout whenever I come to mind, and Yahweh put a lace in your mind and you say a prayer for Abel. It is truly appreciated, because Yahweh knows I need as many prayers as I can get. So with that, family, shalom. All right. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one. And trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Thank you, Father Yah, for blessing us with this opportunity today, Father, to be in your will. Thank you, Father, for leading us. Thank you, Father, for guiding us, Father. Thank you for looking after your little children, your little sheep, Father. And Father, we ask, if we ever veer to the left or to the right, Father, that you bring us back in your love, Father, that when we need to be chastened, Father, as oftentimes I need to be chastened, Father, that you chasten me and you bring me back, Father, to that right relationship with you, Father. I thank you, Father, for loving me, even though there are times, Father, that I don't show you the love, Father. And I pray for all my brothers and sisters, Father, that we stay in your face, Father, that we walk in your son's footsteps, Father, that we follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth, Father. And I ask, Father, that as we end this lesson today, Father, that you look after my brother Sheba'el, that you keep his phone connected, that you keep his spirit and those people that be around him from distracting him, from them not getting on his nerves. Sometimes they do. I ask that you hedge my brother up. I ask that you lift my brother up. I ask that you send forth your mighty word as a rushing wind through him so that we can be edified and hear what you have for us, Father. I ask that, Father, you look after for all my brothers and sisters, my Zakanes, my Zakanas, my elders, and the Yaladin, Father. I ask that you look after us, Father, as we are the apple of your eye. In Yahushua's name, Father, I pray. Amen.
Praise.